Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 227, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. 1 and 2 of Psalter 227.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, in the 20th chapter, and there are verses 19 through the end. John 20, verses 19 to the end. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 20, beginning with verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that, believing, ye might have life through his name. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. John Vanney, who is in the hospital with much pain in his body. Mr. Bus DePuter, who must have surgery in the day of tomorrow. Dustin and Chad have both been in and come home from the hospital and are doing well. Tristan Van Sluis has to see a physician for possible surgery on his arm. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou who art the governor over all the universe, and also the governor in the life, the temporal life of each and every one of us, and also of us, Thy servant who it was not to be in this place among our flock in this day, but it was in thy providence that so it is to be. Lord, thou knowest the reason for all things, and also those who have awaited us, that we may be in their midst for the administration of word and sacrament. But when it has become impossible in this day, wilt thou remember them and wilt thou give, that in due time next week we may be enabled to come in their midst. But Lord, wilt thou also look upon us in this morning hour, when we may be amongst our own flock once again, that there may be reason, that there may be cause, may it be for the welfare of our poor souls, that at this time that we are called to preach in the midst of our flock, Lord, that thou may give then opening in thy holy word, and that thy word may go open, that our heart may go open, and that there may be a word from thee that has to be spoken in this morning for a purpose known to thee alone. But may thou be a surprising God, and could it please thee to gladden us with thy deeds. Wilt thou look upon us then in the need of our souls, each one of us as individuals, as we are traveling to a great eternity? And when we have considered in these past weeks the suffering and the death, but also the resurrection of thine only begotten Son, then, Lord, thou knowest that there is by times a people for whom the burden only increases year by year in consideration of these great and most holy matters. And when for the need of their own soul they still stand so without, and when the deadness and the coldness and the carnality that is weighing upon their soul, and they cannot give themselves life within, and it seems that everything goes by them in their life also, and thy own truth, and the reading of thy word, the preaching of thy word, and that it can seem like there is nothing, and that ever sinks into my soul. Lord, could it please thee to remember such with such burdens in this morning hour? Oh, could it please thee to give light in the darkness, to give life from the dead, and to give that when there has been much weeping in the night, that there may be a little joy in this morning, and that thou would deliver those who are given over unto death, when from their own side it is but an impossible situation, and when they can look forward to nothing but to be cast away out of thy presence eternally. Lord, when it is their just desert, and when they may be brought by thee to agree with such a righteous sentence. Oh, could it please thee, O Lord, the God of the heavens and of the earth, and the God of the salvation of thy people, and the God of thy covenant, and to come to the deliverance of those that are in distress and those that are in the prison, to deliver them to the joy of their soul and to the glory of thy great and holy name. Oh, that such may be the experience in the midst of us, but that there also may be dead ones who are truly born by virtue of that life of thine only begotten Son, whom thou hast raised from the dead, and thou hast shown that he has conquered death, sin, and the grave and hell itself. And when we are still held in that awful bondage, the bondage to iniquity and to sin and to the love of sin and this world, Lord, that thou may show something of thy great power in this day, to raise from the dead, and to give life in the midst of us as a congregation, and that thou may remember each and every one of thy true children. Oh, that they may be given a place to storm thy throne of grace in the great need of our days, in the midst of our congregation, but also in the midst of our denomination. And that thou would raise up new ones to be born in Zion, that thou may continue thy church amongst us as thou hast done in the years that are gone by, and that thou would not forsake us as we so justly deserve. And then, Lord, we can read it in thy holy word, and that thou didst send forth thy servants. Oh, could it please thee also in the days in which we are living,
To send forth thy servants in the midst of us as a denomination. Not those that go forth in their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their own power, with their own choice. Lord, then we can do nothing but spoil everything. And then we would be but the little foxes that spoil the vines. But when there may be those that are wrought upon by thee, in the great need that lies upon us, and for thy word to go forth in truth and in purity, Lord, we beseech thee then that thou may send forth thy spirit, and that thou may give new ones to have it bound upon their heart, the great need of thy church, and that they also may be called and sent by thee, and that thou would look upon us in our denomination in thy favor and in thy mercy. And when also on the mission fields the need is great, that thou may provide for them. And Lord, then we remember also in these moments our own school. Oh, thou knowest the situation in which we are. Oh, that thou who hast the heart of all men in thy hands may look upon us in thy mercy, though we are so undeserving. And that thou would incline the hearts of those who have power in our government, that our teachers may be enabled to remain in our midst, and that they do not have to return to the Netherlands, and that there may be a way that others may also be brought to come over and to help us. Lord, wilt thou so remember us in mercy? Do look upon our children and our youth, and wilt thou give true conversions? And wilt thou give a desire also to join thy truth? And do remember those who have finished their course of instruction, and who have appeared before the consistory with a desire to make confession of faith in the midst of the congregation. Lord, that thou may remember them together in the time that is before them, when that moment that approaches closer and closer, and when they will have to make that solemn vow. O Lord, that thou may supply for them in these times, and that thou may give them indeed what is necessary to give that answer, and that thou may give them new hearts, and that thou may work mightily. Lord, remember each and every one of us. Be with all the afflicted and the sick ones, and him that lies in the hospital in great pain. Thou knowest the needs of his body, that thou may supply for him in this day, that thou may take the pain away, that thou may give him some thoughts of thee. And oh, that thou may bless and sanctify this difficult way, and that he may be given in truth to acknowledge thee in all thy ways, and to strengthen his wife also in caring for him, and all those in the hospital that care for him, and all those that are there, but also those that must go there, and him that must receive surgery in the day of tomorrow. Lord, wilt thou be on his right and on his left hand amidst all the fears of his heart, and that thou mayest supply for him, give the physicians what is necessary to do their labors, and that thou mayest show thyself in the midst of them, to feed also with a crumb from heaven. Be with the little children and those who have once again come home from the hospitals for whom thou hast made it well, give a heart to acknowledge thee again. And remember further in all their cares and the other child who has to see the physician, Lord, wilt thou give what is necessary also in that case? And Lord, so remember us, each and every one of us, together for this time and for that great eternity. And do look upon us in this morning hour. Oh, that thou mayst stand on our right and on our left hand in mercy in the bringing of thy holy word. And that thou mayst overrule all things for the welfare of each and every one of us and for the welfare of our congregation and denomination. And for the glory of thy great and holy name, we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 368, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode, forever with thy presence blessed. We announce that the following persons have appeared before the consistory with a desire to do confession of faith in the midst of the congregation: Mr. Abraham Den Hollander, Mr. John Gulliker, and Miss Ruth Fader. Any lawful objections must be brought to the consistory. 368, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Congregation, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth has come to an end. For 3 years, he has administered to the church here below. And we read in the high priestly prayer that the Lord Jesus prays to his Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so that was soon, very soon, going to take place. Why? Because the labors, the mediatorial labors of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth, they are now finished. The work of salvation has been accomplished. The life for his church has been merited. And yet, that purchasing of that church of God is not enough. Because there is still a church after that the Lord Jesus has come and done his work on this earth. There is still the church that needs to be gathered in. Needs to be brought in, it needs to be instructed, it needs to be fed, it needs to be cared for, it needs to be shepherded. Thus the Lord Jesus did not purchase his church and then neglect all things. But he has also taken measures that that church may be brought in and taken care of. Thus Christ, he has watched over every aspect of the salvation of his church. But how did he do this? This we read in the words of our text, which we wish to consider together in this hour. John 20, verses 21 through 23. John 20, verses 21 through 23. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So far the words of our text. Christ confirms the calling of the apostles to the office of the ministry. First, he gives a commission to this office. We read that in verse 21. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Second, he provides what is necessary for the fulfillment of this office. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Third, he asserts their authority in their office. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Thus, Christ confirms the calling of the apostles to the office of the ministry. First, he gives a commission to this office. Second, he provides what is necessary for the fulfillment of their office. Third, he asserts their authority in their office. The Lord congregation works in various ways in this world. Sometimes when he provides for man, then he is using means. Other times he is using no means at all. Then there are times that he is working in a supernatural, in a miraculous way through the means. And that is not only so in a natural way in this world, but these ways are also possible for the Lord when he will work in a spiritual way in the midst of his church. Then it is possible when the Lord would give true conversion, when the Lord would gather his church over the length and the breadth of the whole world from the beginning of the time to the end of the world, it is possible when the Lord will gather his church that the Lord would simply, by the working of his Spirit, without the use of any means, plant true saving faith in the heart of his elect. Thus possible that the Lord works in a very immediate way. And yet we read that this is not the way that the Lord has chosen to gather his church. But he shows that it pleases him to use the means and that he may gather in his church. And what are those means that it pleases him to use? Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Thus, the Lord Jesus speaks about the ministry of the word. And therefore, Paul says that faith cometh not in an immediate way without means, but he says that faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, he says, by the word of God. Thus, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Thus, it pleases the Lord to institute the ministry of his word for the application of the benefits that we have heard in these past weeks, those great benefits that Christ has merited for his church. And when his own ministry has come to an end, and when the Lord is going to leave this world and go unto his Father, then it pleases him to send out others that they may take up this work of the ministry. And then it is his intention that he is going to speak through this ministry. As we say, that was not necessary. It was also possible that the Lord simply revealed his word, so that when his word was written by the apostles, that word, that may now be spread throughout the entire world, and that the Lord may give the gathering of his church to be accomplished simply by the reading of his holy word. Thus men studying in private, persons gathering within their own homes as families. But no, it has pleased the Lord to do differently. That has pleased the Lord to have the church to gather together in a public way, to gather in a way of communion. And that his holy word, which he has given,
may also be spoken by the mouth of men, that it may be explained and applied in the life of men.
What does that mean then for our personal life? What does that mean for our private reading? Does it mean that the Lord does not work then, and when we are reading the scriptures in our own home, or it does not mean this at all? We hope you read this word. We hope you meditate on His word. We hope you may dig, that you may study in His word. We hope you may bow your knees in your own private chambers, because religion, and that is not in fact public in its essence, in its real matter, but it is between God and our soul. And also, and there are places in this world where there is no ministry of the word, and the Lord is able to use then also in those circumstances the reading and the studying of His word. But there is still no substitute for the public ministry of the word. This is something that we read here is the institution of the Lord. And it is something that needs to be honored by men as the Lord's own institution. The normal way in which the Lord is gathering His church in this world. That way in which a Lydia, as she may attend unto the things that are spoken by the servant of the Lord, thus to despise, and the public worship service, that is not just to despise men, but it is to despise the Lord Himself, His institution, His commandment. And therefore, we are admonished not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Therefore, we are admonished that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. That is a ministry that will be sought out by the true, by the living church. Is that a ministry that is also sought out by you? That is a mark of that true church. David, it lived in his heart a love for the house and for that service of the Lord. Thus we ask you, where is the estimation in your life? Where is the estimation of the house and the service and in the institution of the Lord? Does that come, children, before all your play, that you are willing to give up sometimes? Sometime when it is Good Friday, and that you may not play, but that you may come to the house of the Lord? How does that lie in your young heart? How does that lie in the heart of each and every one of us? Does that institution of the Lord come before our personal desires? Does it come before our business? Does it come before all our desire for vacationing in this world? It is the institution of the Lord Himself. We may read that Philip comes by the providence of the Lord into the communion with the eunuch. And Philip asks him, when he hears him reading the word of God, he says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" What was the answer of that man? He says, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Thus, it was his desire that the Lord also would give someone, some man,
that he may be in this world, that he may sit with him, and that he may explain to him, that he may expound unto him the meaning of that holy word of God. Oh, do we also need that word of God expounded, propounded unto us? We read of Lydia, when the Lord touched her heart, and that she is saying to the servants of the Lord, come into my house. We read of the Ephesians when Paul says he has to go away from them, and that they are weeping. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and that the people are staying him, and when he says that he must go to preach the kingdom of God also unto other cities. Thus, in that true conversion, then there is a desire for that ministry of the word. You say, perhaps, well, our minister, he is this, and our minister, he is that, and our minister, he has this character, and he has this fault. Oh, that is so true. Or will we then be wiser than the Lord? Will we have then the Lord to send an angel to preach unto us? Or is an angel able actually to enter in to the grief that lies in the heart of the true people of the Lord? Is an angel able to enter into that grief of the Apostle Paul? And when he says that there is a law in my members, warring against that law of my mind. No, there is a reason that the Lord has given sinful and weak and faulty men to do these labors. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Thus, they are men not chosen and called by themselves, but they are chosen and called of the Lord. The Lord sending whom he will, and the Lord sending them unto whom they will. And then we cannot expect a blessing of the Lord. And when we are seeking ourselves that we may go to hear instead this servant or that servant, and when the Lord has given unto us our own place in the church also, because when we will seek it in men, and then certainly we are going to be disappointed, what does the Lord say, by the foolishness of preaching, and that he is going to save them that believe. Of course, that assumes that the truth is being brought. And when that truth is not being brought, then we also have a duty to be on our knees and to be speaking to our minister and speaking to our elders who have a duty concerning the doctrine that is brought in that house of God. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. The disciples, they are called and they are sent by Christ. Thus, the ministry, that is not something that is for good speakers and for those who have a desire for a public place in this world. And that can be sometimes in the life of some persons, even as a sickness. But a ministry, and therefore we have a curatorium, and therefore we also speak about these things in this day. And when that curatorium will meet, the Lord willing, next month, and congregation, is there also a cry in our heart, and that the Lord may still raise up, and that the Lord may still send forth those who may preach his holy word. Paul says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Or who would deny this?
And yet we also read that no man taketh this honor on himself, but he that is called of God. There was one that came unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. The Lord Jesus says, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And then there is another one. And the Lord Jesus says to him, follow me, and he is not so ready. Moses was set aside for this work by the Lord himself. There was a time that Moses thought that he was so ready, and this was not the time of the Lord. When the Lord's time came, then it was very different in the life of Moses. Then Moses is no longer able to go. Then Moses feels so very unfit. And now it is one who is in such an unfit condition that the Lord is able to make use of. And when it is that a person is so unfit that the Lord is going to give to them what is necessary from his side to do this work, we see that in our second thought, that he will provide what is necessary for the fulfillment of this office. Peace be unto you. That was then a very common expression, but it is here not just in the words of a man, but it is here coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ does not speak as you and I so often speak, and that we speak without thinking and without meaning. But when the Lord Jesus speaks, then even a common expression that receives actually its true meaning and its true value. And the Lord Jesus does not this once, but we read here, this is the second time. Peace be unto you. What a blessing, congregation, when the Lord repeats himself in the life of his people. Because faith that can be so small, and the understanding and that can be so darkened, and the courage that can be so little, and the wonder and that is in the eyes of the people so great, and that sometimes it is so necessary that the Lord is coming again and that the Lord is repeating himself. There is so much that is coming against that true church of God that it is needful that they receive also a confirmation from the Lord himself. And that is not only in the personal life of God's true church, but it is also in the way often of the ministry. It is not surprising that the Lord Jesus deems it necessary to repeat himself unto his disciples and to say it to them in their circumstances wherein they are, to say it unto them once again. And why? Well, because of everything that these disciples have gone through. And when a person is called to an office in the church, then he has in the one side his own life, spiritual life, wherein there can be so many questions and so many riddles. But now there is another burden, and that burden that has to do with the offices of the Lord. And then we have heard something of how that the whole life of these the whole life of these women and the disciples in the death of Christ that has been so thrown upside down. But that was not only for that spiritual life, but you can imagine that that was also in that having to do with their office, having to do with the calling, and that the Lord had called them in this world. And what that must have meant to them when the Lord Jesus was hanging upon that cross, and when that stone that was now lying upon that door of the sepulcher. And then what do these servants of the Lord need so much more than a confirmation that indeed what they thought had been true and that seemed was not true anymore, and that the Lord may give His confirmation, the ministry congregation is not a light office. And not only so, but we read here actually more because the disciples, they were called by the Lord Jesus already for several years. And in this calling, we can read that the Lord has instructed them, that the Lord has taught them what was necessary for their office. And now the Lord actually does more, because He does not only call them, but now we read that the Lord actually sends them. Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And then what is necessary if we will be called and we will be sent into that service of the Lord, then it is necessary that we know something of what the Lord Jesus is speaking here to His disciples. What does He say? He says, peace be unto you. And this is now the application of His entire mediatorial work. The reason that He has given Himself to come from the place of His glory and to spend 3 years in suffering and dying here upon this world, that there may be peace, that there may be reconciliation preached in this world unto men. And when we know nothing, and when we have never been instructed in the beginnings even of this peace, no, we do not say to be reconciled to a triune God, but we say even the beginnings of the knowledge of this peace, where does it lie? It lies in the desire for it. It lies in a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. It lies in a desire to be reconciled unto a triune God. And then the mysteries of that life of faith will begin to be experienced in a way of dying, as we have heard in the past days. And then it is a beginning to be possible, and that a man preaches from the housetop what is taking place in the inner chamber of the true church of God. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Or is not this what is necessary for the accomplishment of that great work that these apostles now have upon their shoulders? What is it? It is a promise. It is a promise to those who feel that they are not able to go forward in that calling that the Lord sends them in. It is a promise that the Lord says He is going to accompany them with His Holy Spirit. then we can have so many gifts and we can be able to tickle the ears of men in this world. But when we lack the Holy Spirit of the Lord, then it is nothing but to the honor of men. It is nothing but to the destruction of the true church of God and their sorrow. Most of the apostles, they had no education according to this world. That is not what is necessary for this office. Moses, he was an educated man. But we know how inadequate that Moses has felt himself to be. He says, I am not eloquent. I am a man of slow speech. Then what did the Lord say? The Lord, he said, go. I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And this is, congregation, the necessary part, that they may receive the accompaniment of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Then a man does not have to bring himself. Then a man does not have to bring his own gifts. But then a man has only to bring the Word of the Lord. Ought we then to educate our ministers? Ought we then to demand that our ministers are studying? Oh, yes. The apostles, of course, they were gifted in a very extraordinary manner. They were gifted in a very extraordinary time. That is not for us to duplicate. The means, they are means in the hands of the Lord that we must, that we need to use. But, oh, let us never forget that what we need is the blessing of the Lord on the simple preaching of His holy word, more than on all the learned discourses of men in this world. Oh, we hope that therefore, that there may be an appreciation for the simple truth of that holy word of God that is brought in its sincerity. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. That was an extraordinary sign. That is, again, not something that is to be imitated in our day. But it shows something. It speaks something. He is breathing on them. And we read, children, that God also breathed into Adam. And that Adam, when he breathed into him, he became a living soul. Oh, then it is that breath of the Lord that is necessary for the true church of God to bring life from the dead. It is that breath of the Lord that is necessary time and again within the true church in the life of His own children. But it is now also this breath of the Lord that is so necessary in the life of His truly sent servants, and that to the end of time. And it is this breath of the Lord that the Lord is promising unto those whom He is thrusting out into His vineyard. When He says, lo, I am with you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And when the Lord is sending, then the Lord is also supplying what is necessary in the life of His servants to do their labors. Because what fears, what great fears are so often in the way of those that are struggling under this hand of the Lord because of their own lack. But the Lord is able, and the Lord promises
to stand with them and to go with them with His Holy Spirit and to give them everything that is necessary for their labors and more, because the Lord promises also the fruit upon the labors of His servants. But let us sing first from Psalter 372, 1 and 2. Come, all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless, ye that are standing night by night, and within the house of His delight, His glorious name confess. 1 and 2 of Psalter 372.
Our third thought, Christ asserts the authority of His servants in their office. Whosoever sins, ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins, ye retain, they are retained. Here is, congregation, the application. It is the application of the mediatorial labors of the Lord Jesus Christ. His work that has to do with the forgiveness of sins. And now it is this forgiveness of sins that the Lord is placing into the very hands of His servants in this world? Is it then the work? Does it mean then that God's servants are, even as the priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church, able to forgive the sins of men? No, not at all. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But what are the means? Because we read that the Lord Jesus in this world, that He has spoken unto persons in this world, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Is the Lord still speaking these words in our days? Is this still possible, that the Lord is still forgiving the sins of His church in a conscious way in this world? It is. No, it belongs not unto His servants to forgive the sins of men, but indeed, the Lord is using His servants, His truly called and sent servants, to Himself forgive and to give the knowledge of that forgiveness in the life of His church. Thus we see how solemn a task is now the ministry of the Word. You can understand that if there is no impression in the midst of the congregation that God's servants speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith that is not able to receive this forgiveness. But it is in the preaching of His sent servants that the Lord is indeed speaking to the soul of His people, and that the Lord is giving authority to His word through their mouth, and that word that is received by His church in the midst of the congregation with that same authority as if that had been spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in His human person. So real, so true. "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them." How is it that this authority is felt? Well, you may feel something of this authority when the preaching is in your own conscience according to that holy word of God. Thus, it is not so that God's servants, that they are preaching a personal declaration to this man or to that woman or to this child, the forgiveness of your sins. But it is a declaration through a faithful preaching of the forgiveness of sins to the chiefest of the sinners. And that is not our own word, but that comes clearly out of the word of God Himself and out of the mouth of Christ. Then you understand how necessary are also the distinctions that must be made by God's servants, because the Lord from heaven does not have the same message to each and every one of us. No, there are different messages in the Word of God. "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with you."
well unto the righteous. It shall be well with you. And thus, what must we do? Then we must make a distinction. What does it mean to be wicked? What is wickedness? What is sin? And what does it mean when it is well? Thus, those distinctions are so necessary that the preaching is not just general for everyone, but that we may know in a personal way from the Lord where we stand in our state, in our condition before Him, and whosoever sins, ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Oh, when that preaching may then be done in a faithful manner, then it is the Lord who is putting His own stamp of approval upon this preaching. Such a preaching that is receiving the blessing of the Spirit of the Lord. Such a preaching is being brought in to the heart of that true church. Such a preaching is actually ratified in heaven. It is entering the heart. It is entering the conscience of man. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Thus, there is also here another side. There is not only the remitting of sins, but there is also the retaining of sins. Thus, there is also an authority. Authority that the Lord places within His own church concerning Christian discipline. The house of God is not to be a den of confusion. No, the house of God is to be a house of order. And the Lord has given a rod of discipline. And that discipline, that is the responsibility of those in whose hand it is placed to exercise this discipline. And it is the responsibility of those who receive such discipline in the church to submit themselves to such a discipline. When the Lord Jesus went into the synagogue, and when He has also made order in the house of God, and then the Pharisees came to Him and they asked Him about authority. Where do you receive the authority to carry out this discipline? The Lord Jesus, He received His authority from His own Father. But why are these Pharisees asking about their authority? Because they had no desire to submit themselves under the discipline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's authority came from His Father. And there is an authority also in the way of discipline that is given by Christ into the hands of His servants. What does that mean? That means that when they act in a way of discipline within the church, that they actually and truly act in the stead of God on the earth. That is to keep order. And what is now done according to that word of God in the way of discipline is ratified in heaven. That is, congregation, serious.
Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Thus it is no light matter to be under the discipline of the church of God. It is no light matter when we as a member of the church are under censor, full censor or silent censor. Because when these matters are so being taken care of in God's church in a right way by those in authority, then the Lord says it comes not from them, but it comes from me. Then we have a great responsibility. What a responsibility as office bearers to see that everything is done decently and in order in the church of God. When we are standing in the place where we are, we have to give an answer, not to you. We have to give an answer to God. You have also to give an answer, sometimes to us, but above all, to God. Not for the decisions that are placed on us to make, but for that which you are responsible, which is to submit yourselves unto this authority. That is in every way within the church of God. And when this may be so, and you may bow your knees in your own secret chamber to remember your consistory and to remember your minister in the difficult decisions that need sometimes to be made, and then to give this over into the hands of the Lord, then we may look for, and then we may ask for, the blessing of the Lord. Or is it so with us? As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Congregation, the blessing of the ministry of the word, that is a blessing that cannot be overestimated. Why can it not be overestimated? What does Isaiah say? He said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Why is that not to be overestimated? Because there is now a man? No, not because there is now a man, but because there is now an office. An office. An office instituted by the Lord himself. And it is in that office that the Lord is promising to work. It is in this office that the Lord is promising to gather his church, and that is an institution of a living Christ who is sending his servants even to this day. And when he is still sending his servants, then it is a testimony from God himself, that he is still going to gather some, that he is still going to instruct his people, that he is still going to nourish his people. And then what gladness
gladness in the heart of those who feel so ignorant and who say, Lord, teach me, and who are destitute of food and drink and that say, Lord, feed me. And we know that the dead don't feel such a gladness, but oh, if the Lord may be pleased to sanctify his word, even by our mouth, oh, then one day you are going to bless that name of the Lord for it, forever and forever. May the Lord so give it and so be in our midst. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest the inmost recesses of the heart of each and every one of us. As members of our congregation, as office bearers, thou knowest what is laid upon our shoulders to carry forth in this world. Oh, that thou may strengthen us to stand firm in thy word and for thy truth, all of us together, and that thou may give thy blessing upon our work in the midst of this our flock, that thou hast entrusted unto our care. Oh, go with us, Lord, and forgive all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We forgot to announce earlier that we are short on some copies of the banner, so we hope that those will be here shortly. Our closing psalter is number 132, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. 1, 4, and 5 of 132.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.